And I'd like to read from Philippians 4, verses 15 through 23. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The title of my message is, My God Shall Supply All Your Need, taken from Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is getting to the end of his letter, and he's thanking the Philippians for their gift to him. We read in Philippians 4, verse 15, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And you can feel the emotions of Paul in verse 15. The church in Philippi held a special place in the heart of the apostle. And he was delighted by the faithfulness of the Philippian believers in meeting his needs. He didn't ask them for it. They just gave. As the Holy Spirit led them to do, they did it. And Paul continues in verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. When Paul was with the Thessalonians, he and his companions emphatically did not take money or anything else from them, but instead he worked with labor and toil day and night that he might not be a burden to the church in Thessalonica. We know from this verse in Philippians that in addition to the earnings from work he and others did, likely as tent makers, while they were in Thessalonica, he received at least two monetary gifts for their needs from believers at Philippi. Paul deliberately did not take offerings in Thessalonica, but he did receive from the Philippians. And you might wonder, was he inconsistent in what he did? And the answer is no. Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit, and if the Spirit led him to work, he worked, and he made his living and earned his money by working. But from the side of the Philippians also were responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was delighted in their response to the Lord's leading and by their reaching out to help others. And this is what he expresses in Philippians 4, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul wanted it to be absolutely clear that in praising the Philippians for their generosity, that he was not making some kind of hint that he wanted more money from them. They had given out of love for others, and this pleased the Apostle Paul greatly. They gave because they followed the leading of the Lord. They gave out of a love for Christ and for his people. And the Scripture teaches that God rewards those who are willing to give. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And as Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And Paul adds in Philippians 4, verse 18, But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Epaphroditus had been sent from the church in Philippi with gifts for Paul and the other Christian believers who were in Rome. And their gifts pleased Paul tremendously, and he wasn't shy about telling them so and giving them thanks for what they had done. And it's interesting how he describes how these gifts made him feel. He said in verse 18 that they were like a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In this verse, Paul compares the gift they sent with the sacrifices that were being offered at the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem. The Lord, through Moses, often referred to the sacrifices of animals on the altar as having a fragrant aroma, well-pleasing to God. And Paul uses that kind of temple imagery here in this verse. Paul was saying, "Do you realize just how important your gifts were to me? They were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. But the gift was just a bit of money we put into the box to be taken to you by our friend Epaphroditus to help you buy things." That's all the Philippians perhaps reasoned. It was just money. But to the Apostle Paul, it was much more than money. It was a well-pleasing sacrifice made unto the Lord. And Paul says, "Yes, I know that, but you did it for one of Christ's brethren, and so it was a sweet offering to God." And oftentimes, when we give to the work of the Lord, we give to those who are in need, it's more than just giving money. It's more than just putting money in someone's back pocket. It's advancing the kingdom of God, and it's encouraging the servants of the Lord. And there are times when you give, you don't realize how important it is and how an encouragement it is for the servant of the Lord when they receive the gift from the Lord's people. It can go a far way. And there are times when the servant of the Lord may be down and discouraged, and they receive a gift from God's people, and it just boosts their spirits. And the Lord uses that to draw them out of a gloomy state into a state of joy and thanksgiving. Now we come to perhaps the most significant verse in the entire letter, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Just like Paul in the Philippians, we all have many needs in our life, and God knows about every one of them. And the believers in the church of Philippi had given not just one, but several gifts to the Apostle Paul. He had not asked for them, they just sent them. They gave not to get anything in return, but instead they gave out of love for the Apostle Paul. They gave out of love for the Lord. They gave as led by the Holy Ghost. But now, the Philippians themselves are in great need. And what could Paul give to them that could encourage and strengthen them? Well, he gives to them a great promise in verse 19 to lay hold on: "My God will supply all your need." Paul does not say, "My God can supply all your needs," but, "My God shall." He will supply all your needs. This was Paul's personal testimony and confession of faith. "My God will meet all your needs." This God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and love, the supreme creator in Genesis, the gracious redeemer in salvation, Paul says, "He's my God." God had become Paul's personal God in his life, because He was the God whom he had experienced personally. I would love to be able to interview the Apostle Paul and interview him before he was converted, and then interview him after he was converted, and hear the difference between the explanation of "My God" before he was converted and then the explanation of "My God" after he was converted. He didn't know the Lord before he was converted. He thought he did. He thought he was serving the Lord. He thought he was in the will of God by laying to waste the church of Jesus Christ and by killing Christians. And he thought that that was his God, my God. But when Christ got a hold of him and saved his soul and revealed to him who he was before a holy God, a sinner, a wretched sinner, and the Lord saved his soul, then he could truly and savingly say, my God. He knew what it was for the first time in his life to know this personal God, because Christ himself had revealed himself to him. And Paul was talking about a God whom he knew, the one who had changed the course of his life, the one who had changed the quality of his life, the one who had changed the destiny of his life, the one who had changed the whole of his thinking about the world, about eternity, and about everything in the world. Paul said, this God whom I have come to know, he's my God. And this is the great aim of Christianity. This is the great aim of this church in Prince George. It's to bring us into a personal, living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't do that, then I don't know what else it does. Martin Luther's great emphasis was that true religion on an experiential level consists of personal pronouns, my own sin and my own Savior. And Samuel Rutherford writes, I did not love him, but he loved me and he desired to have me. Who could resist that love? And Paul said that my God is the God who has imputed my sin to Christ. He's the God who has reconciled himself to me by the blood of Christ. He's the God who has called me and kept me. He's the God who nourishes and cherishes me. He's the God who will perfect and glorify me. And he is the God who will present me faultless before the presence of his glory in that great and terrible day of the Lord. Has this God become your God? Has it become my God? Has this Savior become my Savior? Has he become my prophet, my priest, and my king? God has loved the world, true, but I can still perish unless I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have I come to God? Have I taken Christ? Have I myself responded to that love that says, come and I will give you rest? It's not enough that God is love. Sinners still go to hell. Paul had to take it for himself. Paul had made that God his very own God, and this Savior his very own Savior. And here is a love we have to respond to. Here is a love to taste and feel. Here is a love on which to launch ourselves for all time and eternity. My God, my Savior. So what does it mean that God shall meet all our need? Well, the word translated need in this passage expresses a faith in an object that inspires action. It means you are actively engaged in some God-inspired action or business that requires the Lord's help. In other words, God promises supplying grace to us when we are trusting and serving Him. When we are looking to Christ as the only object of our faith, the Lord promises that He will provide and supply the grace that we need for all of our needs. It's as we exercise faith. It's as we believe only in Christ. It's as we lay hold on Christ and not let Him go, is when the Lord will come and meet all of our needs. An example is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, where Jesus and his disciples came to visit the home of Lazarus, which he shared with his sisters Martha and Mary. A Martha who was no doubt feeling the pressure to act the part of a good hostess, and I'm sure, ladies, you all have that pressure to act the part of a good hostess. You want to make sure your house is clean, that the food is on the table, and that everyone's happy, and that's just part of being a good hostess. Well, Martha wanted to be a good hostess. She wanted to make sure that everyone was taken care of and well fed and was having a good time. And immediately she busied herself with serving her guests and trying to make everyone feel comfortable as possible in her home. But her sister Mary made a different choice. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. And women, I'm sure you can identify with Martha. As Martha continued to toil and labor all by herself, her level of frustration and anger grew to a fevered pitch. She was ticked off. She was getting annoyed. She felt like there was no one here helping me. I'm doing this all myself. And eventually, when she could keep silent no longer, Luke 10 verse 40 says that Martha approached the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the literal Greek text says, in an upright and active position, and said to him, command or told him, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She was bossing around the Lord Jesus Christ. She was giving him orders. The frustration and hostility that Martha felt was the direct result of an unmet need that she inappropriately determined to be the most important need for that moment. And what was that important need? Everyone has to stop and help me. I'm doing it all. I need someone's help. I need my sister's help in setting the table or cleaning up this mess. I'm doing it all, and I need someone. And she had the audacity to come to Christ himself and command him to tell Mary to stop what she was doing and help her. And to Martha's way of thinking, she needed her sister to help her right now and right then. Nothing else mattered. She was absolutely convinced that she was doing the right thing and everyone else was wrong. But Jesus responded in a way that Martha was not expecting. He gave her a perspective of the situation at hand. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus told Martha that the cause of her frustration was her own doing. He said that she was careful. The word literally means to be troubled, filled with anxiety and fretful. And she was troubled to be in a state of turmoil. She was beside herself because she was focused on meeting the wrong need. Only one thing is needful, said the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was employed in meeting the wrong need. You see, Martha's eyes had shifted from her busyness and all the things that she had to do, and her eyes were off of Christ. And Mary's object was Christ. Mary's object was the need that she felt in her heart was to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him and to be instructed from the Savior. And we can learn an important lesson here is that as we are exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will take care of our needs. It's when we don't look to Christ, it's when we're not exercising that faith and trust in the Lord, when we become very agitated and very annoyed and very perplexed and troubled and full of turmoil. And we see this coming out in Martha. And she demanded from the Savior himself to command Mary to come and help her. And a Christian author writes regarding this, much of the frustration and anxiety that we feel in life is generated because we are focused on meeting the wrong needs with inappropriate actions. We bring the problems on ourselves by yielding to inward pressure and external circumstances. We jump into action instead of first asking the Lord what he wants us to do. It's frequently pointed out that it is our needs that the Lord will supply and not all we desire. And this is what Paul is really getting at here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If we offer the prayer to the Lord, oh Lord, won't you give me that nice expensive sports car? Won't you bless me with this 5-bedroom mansion that I can't afford, but yet, Lord, I want it. And I desire it. And I need it. There's a big difference between the needs that the Lord will be addressing in this text, or is addressing in this text, and the desires that we come to sometime late latch onto in our own lives. We need to make sure that we make the difference between the need and the desire. Paul is not referring to optional extras, but to essential requirements in the life of a Christian in Philippians 4, verse 19. And what are some essential requirements that we need the Lord to help us with? Well, first, there are role needs that we must fulfill as a father, mother, son, daughter, employee, housewife, teacher, pastor. We need the Lord to give us grace to fulfill the role needs. Whatever it is that we're doing, to have responsibilities attached to that role and position. We have pressure points. We have needs in that particular sphere. And we have to live in those roles to the glory of God. God promises that as we look to Christ, as we make Christ the object of our faith, He will supply us with grace to help us in our role needs. He will help us to be good mothers and good fathers and good husbands and good wives as we exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children can take the promise that as I look to Christ and as I trust in Christ, the Lord will help me to be an obedient child. Help me to be a child who's submissive and kind and loving to my sister, to my brother. It's all as we look to Christ in faith, the Lord will meet that need in our role. As a pastor, I need the Lord to help me to feed my soul, to be able to instruct and encourage the people of God. And as I look to Christ by faith, He promises to help me in that role. He promises to give me the grace that I need to be an effective servant and witness for Christ. Just like in your roles. Everyone here has a role in their life. And as we look to Jesus Christ, He promises to help us meet the needs that we have in our roles. And that's what Paul is encouraging the Philippians to do. To look to Christ. And as we look to Christ, He will help us in whatever roles we find ourselves in. But then we also have temporal needs. Not only do we have these role needs, but temporal needs in one way or another. Circumstances that we want to change, or economic pressure, job prospects, the question of marriage and other relationships, even finding the right accommodation, the place to live and the place to work, the place to send my child to for schooling, and many other everyday needs. When we look to Christ and we exercise faith in Him, He promises to meet those temporal needs in our life. The problem that we often go through and experience is frustration and anxiety and perplexities because we don't exercise faith in the Lord and we focus on those things. How can the Lord help us in our need if we're not trusting in Him, if we're not exercising faith in Him? We're looking more at the thing rather than the object of our faith, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, you have a need of finding the right person to marry and to establish a relationship with. Well, it shouldn't be just a random thing. It should be based on your faith in Jesus Christ. And as I look to Christ, as I trust in Christ, the Lord's going to lead me to that, fulfill that need. And I trust that the Lord will guide me to that right person. And the Lord will. The Lord promises that He will. And sometimes it may not be immediate. Sometimes it may take slower at times to have these things come to fruition. But the key that Paul is trying to get the Philippians to grasp is trust the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord first and foremost. And then all your needs will be met. Your role needs and your temporal needs. And that's the challenge that we have, young people. That's the challenge you have. Especially when it comes to right relationships. When it comes to choosing a helpmate. You've got to be looking to Christ. You've got to be trusting in the Lord. Because that's a need in your life. And if we're not trusting in the Lord and looking to Him, how do we expect for the Lord to meet that need in a way that will bring glory to Him and bring good to us? We've got to be trusting and walking by faith, not by sight. Young people are tempted to walk by sight, to walk according to the flesh, and by feeling, and by what they feel and perceive and sense. But Paul is teaching here in Philippians 4 verse 19 that the just shall live by faith. And when we live by faith and trust in Him, the Lord will meet our temporal needs. They are needs which involve us in problems of one kind or another, these temporal needs. And we need the Lord. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. We need His grace. And God promises in Philippians 4 verse 19, God will supply our temporal needs. What about our physical needs? These are also needs that the Lord will help us with. Lack of good health, especially as we grow older. The pains and aches which come upon us. The struggle of loneliness at times. We feel lonely. We don't have that companionship and that friendship that we so long for. The fear of death, the nearness of death, all these needs seem to be daily upon us. These are physical needs that we have. They're real. And how are these needs met in Christ as we exercise faith in Him and as we trust in Him for our physical needs? Not only our role needs, not only our temporal needs, but our physical needs. That the Lord might indeed help us have the strength to be able to come to His house and worship. To have the mind to be able to read His Word and to understand the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to be well enough to talk to people about the Lord, and to be well enough and strong enough to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, for those brothers and sisters who don't have the physical strength or the physical energy to do those things, oh, how it is imperative for us as God's people to go to them and to encourage them in the things of the Lord. But oh, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear that as we look to Him and as we put our faith in Him, He helps us in our physical needs. And then lastly, perhaps the most important need of all, the spiritual needs. Overcoming sin. Growing in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Resisting temptation. Having the courage to be believers at work, having the courage to be believers at home, enduring afflictions, facing death in the Lord Jesus Christ with the glory of heaven before us, and having the peace that passes all understanding. How can our spiritual needs be met if we're not looking to Christ? If we're not trusting in Him? Oh, this is what Paul is trying to send to the church in Philippi the importance of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are needs, and Paul's message to these Philippians was, my God shall supply all your needs by Jesus Christ. And how does God meet our need? All of these needs that we have considered, the supply of God's grace comes to us because of the Lord Jesus. God's supply comes through this particular channel, through everything that Christ is and has done, especially on the cross. Romans 8 verse 32 we read, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Saying that when we trust in the Lord and look to Him, He's going to provide for all of our needs. He's going to take care of us. He's going to show us what we need. And sometimes expose to us our desires that we have to learn are not the same as our needs. And then the Lord in His grace and mercy shows us, okay, this is a desire that you have, but it's not a need that you have. So I'm going to teach you the difference between the need and the desire. I'm going to teach you what it means to trust in Me for that need. That's part of our sanctification. That's part of living and walking with our God and having that personal relationship. Paul could speak from experience because Christ was his God. It's my God who teaches me these things and meets all of my need. The God who sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to the cruel cross, where his blood was shed and his body was broken in order that we, rebel sinners, might be saved and pardoned and redeemed, is my God, said Paul. That's my God, and that's the God that you must embrace. That's the God that you must look to. Paul was telling the Philippians nothing new. He was telling them what he tells himself. And it's even a sermon to the Apostle Paul, and as he wrote these words, is he doing? Is he looking to the Lord? Is he providing? Is he putting his faith in the Lord in all these areas? And it was a reminder of the Apostle Paul, not just to instruct the Philippians in the church, but to remind himself the object of his faith must be Christ, and the needs that he has must be met in Christ. And therefore, all of us in the church today must follow this example of the apostle. And can you imagine God being mean-spirited and reluctant to bless his beloved Son in whom he's well pleased? The Father delights to please the Son. The Father showers blessing upon blessing upon his Son. And because of his people now have a living and real and dynamic union with Jesus Christ, that same blessing, that same love, that same provision that God provides for his own Son becomes our provision. And the same needs that are met in Christ, they are met in our life as well, because we have that relationship with God. It's not just my neighbor's, it's just not my brother's God in the church or my co-worker's God who professes Christ, but it's my God. And because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I can enjoy all of my needs met in Him. The blessings are all ours in Christ. That is, they are not given to any elite, but to every single person who repents of their sins and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Then God will meet all your needs. If this verse is not a promise made by God to every Christian, then it means nothing. Hear this affirmation: my God will meet all your needs by Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones observes, there is no doubt about this. It's not contingent. It's not uncertain. It does not say perhaps, maybe, no, my God will. And as certainly as I am writing to you, says Paul, in effect, this will happen to you. I know, I am certain, these are his terms. Now, Paul does not say that he knows how exactly God is going to do it. And we don't know either. And that's the thing we want to know. We want to know, how's the Lord going to meet our need? How's the Lord going to take care of me? How's the Lord going to provide for me? Well, I don't know that, but he's going to. That's what Paul is saying. Do you believe it? Do you trust in him for that? God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Paul's not saying or giving the Philippians a preview or somehow look into the future and say, this is how he's going to do it. A, B, C. We don't know the A, B, C. But Paul could say with confidence that he is going to do it. That's for sure. It's up to you. Put your faith in him. And put your trust in him. And you're willing to do that. Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to follow my God? Paul was encouraging the people in Philippi to do something that he expected himself to do. He didn't expect the Philippians to do something that he couldn't do and he wouldn't do. He trusted in the Lord. He looked to the Lord. He believed in the Lord. And he could say as his personal testimony, the Lord took care of me. All of my needs, my world needs, my temporal needs, my physical needs, and my spiritual needs, all met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Lord takes away in order to give. We have all had an experience of that in one small way or another. He seems to empty us before He fills us. But He does it. And He will do it. It's certain. It's absolute. How will He do it? When will He do it? We don't know. But I have to take this verse to my heart. I have to say that, Lord, whatever happens, whether good or bad, whether trials or prosperity come, Lord, teach me what this verse means in my own experience as a follower of Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We dealt with that in Sunday school earlier. But that text gives to the confidence of a believer the fact that the Lord has the power to meet all of our needs exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we present our needs before the Lord, yes, the Lord will meet those needs, but oftentimes He meets them far above. We could even imagine the Lord answering those needs in our life. So, now what else do we need? If we read in Ephesians 3 verse 20 and Philippians 4 verse 19, what else do we need but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Trust in Him. Confidence in Him. In closing, I leave you with this wonderful passage and this great confidence in Philippians 4 verse 19. Let us all, with all our different needs, and we all have many different needs represented here this afternoon, let us renew our faith in Christ and in His abundant supply of grace. We can look to Christ to provide for our temporal, eternal, physical, and spiritual needs. No good thing will He withhold from those who fear Him. God, give us grace to prove the truth of these words in our lives, in our day, and forevermore. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let us pray.